Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And I just want to read one scripture. David said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." That's Psalm 37, excerpts from the Psalm. And as I've been sharing these last several weeks on God's glorious church, God is working in ways that we cannot see. He's moving in the lives of countless multitudes that he can form a body, a living organism in this earth who love Jesus and recognize him as the only head. And as I was prepared, as I said, it's taken several weeks as we've been on this subject, the Lord has marvelous ways of confirming, if you will, the word that he would have me to share with you. And as I sometimes occasionally will go through old files to find things that have been secreted there for years, I ran across an article that I'd like to share excerpts with you on today's broadcast. And it absolutely underlines everything that we have been sharing. And this was the article's entitled "The True Church," written by a J.C. Ryle. And if you like, I will be happy to share a copy with you. I'm going to be sharing it with the UCM family, our UCM partners, in our monthly mailing. And the amazing thing is, this was written by this individual who was born in 1816. And they passed away in 1900. And without anything further, I'm just going to share, as they've expressed so eloquently, what God's heart is. Because obviously, what I've shared, as I felt the burden of the Lord, this person felt God's burden back in the 1800s. God's purpose has not changed. And this article begins, "I want you to belong to the one true church, to the church outside of which there is no salvation. I do not ask where you go on a Sunday. I only ask, do you belong to the one true church? Where is this one true church? What is this one true church like? What are the marks by which this one true church may be known? You may well ask such questions. Give me your attention, and I will provide you with some answers. The one true church is composed of all believers in the Lord Jesus. It is made up of all God's elect, of all converted men and women, of all true Christians, in whomsoever we can discern the election of God the Father, the sprinkling of the blood of God the Son, the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit. In that person we see a member of Christ's true church. It is a church of which all the members have the same marks. They're all born again of the Spirit. They all possess repentance towards God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and holiness of life and conversation. They all hate sin, and they all love Christ. They worship differently and after various fashions. Some worship with a form of prayer and some with none, some with worship kneeling and some standing, but they all worship with one heart. They are all led by one Spirit. They all build upon one foundation. They all draw their religion from one single book, that is the Bible. They are all joined to one great center, that is Jesus Christ. They all even now can say with one heart, Hallelujah. And they can all respond with one heart and voice, Amen and Amen. It is a church which is dependent upon no ministers upon earth, however much it values those who preach the gospel to its members. The life of its members does not hang upon church membership or baptism or the Lord's Supper, although they highly value these things when they are to be had. But it has only one great head, one shepherd, one chief bishop, and that is Jesus Christ. He alone, by his Spirit, admits the members of this church, though ministers may show the door. Till he open the door, no man on earth can open it, neither bishops, nor presbyters, nor convocations, nor synods. Once let a man repent and believe the gospel, and that moment he becomes a member of this church. Like the penitent thief, he may have no opportunity of being baptized, but he has that which is far better than in water baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. He may not be able to receive the bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, but he eats Christ's body and drinks Christ's blood by faith every day he lives, and no minister on earth can prevent him. He may be excommunicated by ordained men and cut off from the outward ordinances of the professing church, but all the ordained men in the world cannot shut him out of the true church. It is a church whose existence does not depend on forms, ceremonies, cathedrals, churches, chapels, pulpits, fonts, vestments, organs, endowments, money, kings, governments, magistrates, or any act of favor whatsoever from the hand of man. It has often lived on and continued when all these things have been taken from it. It has often been driven into the wilderness or into the dens and caves of the earth by those who ought to have been his friends. Its existence depends on nothing but the presence of Christ and his Spirit, and they being ever with it, the church cannot die. This is the church to which the scriptural titles of present honor and privilege and the promises of future glory especially belong. This is the body of Christ. This is the flock of Christ. This is the household of faith and the family of God. This is God's building, God's foundation, and the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. This is the royal priesthood, the chosen generation, the peculiar people, the purchased possession, the habitation of God, the light of the world, the salt and wheat of the earth. This is the church to which the Lord Jesus promises the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and to which he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 6:18-20. This is the only church which possesses true unity. Its members are entirely agreed on all the weightier matters of religion, for they are all taught by one Spirit, and God and Christ and the Spirit and sin in their own hearts, and faith and repentance and necessity of holiness, and the value of the Bible, and the importance of prayer, and the resurrection and judgment to come. About all these points, they are of one mind. This is the only church which possesses true sanctity. Its members are all holy. They are not merely holy by profession, holy in name and holy in the judgment of charity. They are all holy in act and deed and reality and life and truth. They are all more or less conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. No unholy man belongs to this church. This is the only church which is truly apostolic. It is built on the foundation laid by the apostles and holds the doctrines which they preached. The two grand objects of which its members aim are apostolic faith and apostolic practice, and they consider the man who talks of following the apostles without possessing these two things to be no better than sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. This is the only church which is certain to endure to the end. Nothing can altogether overthrow and destroy it. Its members may be persecuted, oppressed, imprisoned, beaten, beheaded, burned, but the true church is never altogether extinguished. It rises again from its affliction. It lives on through fire and water. When crushed in one land, it springs up in another. The Pharaohs, the Herods, the Neros, the Bloody Marys have labored in vain to put down this church. They slay their thousands, and then pass away and go to their own place. The true church outlives them all and sees them buried each in his turn. It is an anvil that has broken many a hammer in this world and will break many a hammer still. It is a bush which is often burning and yet is not consumed. This is the church which does the work of Christ upon earth. Its members are a little flock and few in number compared with the children of the world, one or two here and two or three there, a few in this parish, a few in that. But these are they who shake the universe. These are they who change the fortunes of kingdoms by their prayers. These are they who are the active workers for spreading knowledge of pure religion and undefiled. These are the lifeblood of a country, the shield, the defense, the stay, the support of any nation to which they belong. This is the church which shall be truly glorious, hallelujah, at the end. When all earthly glory is passed away, then shall this church be presented without spot before God the Father's throne. Thrones and principalities and powers upon earth shall come to nothing. Dignities and offices and endowments shall all pass away, but the church of the firstborn shall shine as the stars at last and be presented with joy before the Father's throne. In the day of Christ appearing, when the Lord's jewels are made up and the manifestation of the sons of God takes place, episcopacy, the Presbyterianism, Congregationalism will not be mentioned. One church only will be named, and that is the Church of the Elect. This is the true church to which a man must belong if he would be saved. Praise God. Well, I've just read portions of that article, and again, I offered, he said it so eloquently. Again, this person was born in 1800 and passed, 1816, excuse me, passed away in 1900. I guess they were reading the same Bible we have. Amen. I invite you to request it. I thank you for joining me as we've shared this wonderful topic, and may God bring into existence his glorious church. That's the Lord, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for all of us. I love you dearly. Thank you for being with me these last few broadcasts. I love you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.